Amen. Well, we bless the Lord for all that he has allowed us to participate in this morning as we have worshiped him. And as we continue to prepare our hearts for the word, we're going to hear a word this morning as an exhortation from our own brother Ira.
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say to you, as Peter said on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's good to be here. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you that you have to know that, as I often say, there were some going-ons up on the mountain at the time when you made that declaration. Amen. And we need to always be seeking an experience like that with the Lord. Amen. If God had intended for us just to be saved and then that was it, then he would have called us on home after we got saved. But for the fact that he leaves us here tells us that there is more to be done. And not only is it just more to be done, it's more for us to do. Amen. What God put on my heart was the words that Elisha said after Elijah had died and the Lord took him up. He said to him, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Amen. We should have that same question. Not that Elijah was a vessel. We understand that. Amen. But what he saw God do, what Elijah saw God do in Elijah's life, he already declared he wanted a double portion. Amen. But he knew that if that was going to happen, it had to be the same God that Elijah served that would do it. Amen. And we need to have the same mindset in our lives that if it's going to be done, it's good. I'm not putting down anybody. It's good for you to see examples, the way that God uses other people. But don't get focused on the person. Amen. Because just like Elijah got up out of here, they can get up out of here as well. And when they leave, the only thing you should be seeking is the God that they saw. Amen. The God that blessed them. The God that worked miracles in their life. Amen. Same God, he'll do it for us. Amen. So God wants us into a place. He's calling us to a place where we come into maturity. Amen. He really wants us to be full grown in the Lord. Amen. It's okay. It's all right to be tongue-talking. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But that's just the beginning. Amen. Hey, Jude, I think it says that you build up yourself in the most holy faith. You're just building yourself up. But for what? Amen. So we can do the work of the Lord. Jesus declared that these works have I done and greater. Amen. That mandate is still out there on the table. And we have to carry it out. But it's going to be only when we seek the God of Elijah. You understand what I say when I say it. When we seek God himself to work in us. Yield our members to him. Totally. Amen. Without reservation. That's where he's calling us to, and that's where he needs us. God gave me a word a little bit ago. I've shared with some of you. He said he wants us in a place where we instantly hear him. He's always speaking. Amen. Where we instantly hear him. And when we hear him, we instantly understand what he's saying. Amen. Because sometimes we hear God, but we don't understand what he's saying. And we go off and get ourselves and other people in trouble if anybody's following us because we didn't understand. He wants us to be instantly hear what he's saying, instantly understand, and then instantly move. Amen. That's where he needs us because we are in a place, we're in a time now where the people of God are needed. We have to absolutely 100% be on the wall. Sounding the alarm. And we have to sound the correct alarm. It can't be what we think or what we are guessing about or what someone else said. It has to be what God said. If you give the wrong message, that's just like giving no message. And he said, if you don't give the alarm, don't sound the alarm, then their blood will be required on our hand. Instantly hear him, instantly understand, instantly do what he's called us to do. We need to seek God more than ever before. And see, I can get wrong now, right? See, I haven't always sought him like I should. Amen. And it costs me spiritually. I refer you to the book that it escapes me for a moment. It'll come, Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. And it says this, the first verse. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And in other words, I'm going to ad-lib now. Before you get old and you can't see good, your teeth, your teeth are bad and all that, and you can't really serve God with the vigor that he wants you to serve him with. Remember him. And that verse, I mean, it was piercing to me when I realized what God was telling me. You know, all the years that I've wasted, amen, running the streets, doing whatever, that profited nothing. Absolutely nothing. But he wants us to remember. And if you happen to be like me, it's at a later age that you realize that it's still not too late. Amen. Do what you can. He don't require any more of you than you're able to do. I promise you that. Amen. But we need to be in place to do the things that we need to do. And all of us may be different. It is a little bit different from most of you. Some of us may have similar or same. But most of us, what God's calling us to do is different from the other person. But that don't make it nonetheless important. Finally, the body that he talks about. All parts of the body are important. No matter how small we think they are, for the body to be whole and functioning, operating completely the way it was designed to operate, each part has a function. Amen. And see, when one part, if the left eye gets a little dim for some reason, you get something in your eye, then the right eye need to be able to see for the left eye. So you can still see where you're going. You get what I mean? So we need to be able to cover for our brothers. He told Peter, said, look, Satan desires to sift you. So whatever your name is, I almost said, Brother Ira, Satan desires to sift you, to have you, that they may sift you as wheat. But I like what he said after that. But I pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. He has prayed for us that our faith fail us not. Now, in closing, when you have overcome, strengthen your brother. Amen.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Excellent. Let me get my two horn players to come up just for a few moments and show for us, please. Now, one of y'all that is watching from home, she sent me a text, and she would be very disappointed that I don't have any water or juice up here. I just wanted to say that for the record. Excuse me. because she's going to ask me when I talk to her this evening. She's going to ask me about that. But I'm going to give a good report anyway, even though I know she's watching. You know, as you know, they put in 2 stents for Ruth, and she's recovering at home. I want you to be praying with me that her heart rate will raise and that her energy level continuously increased. And we're just decreeing supernatural and divine favor for her and with her in Jesus' name. Amen. Did y'all receive that? We should always be mindful that when we come together, that one of the things that we're called to do is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm so reminded that oftentimes, and you can skip this if you're not careful, but in the book of Acts, it says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Isn't that correct? You shall receive what? Power. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, when the Lord says that in Scripture, when he puts that there, one of the first things I thought about was it coincidental that he made sure. Now, remember this, please, because I'm going to take a liberty right here. He very well could have said, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses for me everywhere in the world. But he didn't say that. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. It's as if that once we got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, remember the tree I just engrafted you in. And in order for you to remember that tree, I'm going to tell you, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. I want you to write this down for me, please. We are at the date of August the 30th, correct? I'm sorry, July 30th. I'm sorry, I didn't jump the whole month in the spirit. Thank you. Somebody was listening. This is a time that is called Between the Straits. Say that with me. Between the Straits. It is the 17th of Tammuz on the Hebraic calendar to the 9th of Av. This is a time that in Israel's history has been a time where the enemy has lowered her in the warfare and strategic warfare for the sake of wanting to defeat her and cause her to come to a place that she would operate in a place of less than knowing and recognizing her identity. When you look in history, there's something you'll discover. From the 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av, that between the straight period is when she really throughout the spans of history underwent some of her most tumultuous times. But here's a fact. The temple was destroyed how many times? Twice. Do you know that the temple was destroyed on the same date each time? It was the 9th of Av. And I'm saying that to you because I think that the body of Christ has to wake up and realize we have a prayer responsibility for the tree that we've been engrafted in. First Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the most parts of the earth. And so I want to be mindful as I say this to you. And personally, I believe that every church, as a part of our warfare and strategy, we need to have a map of the nations. We need to have a map of the United States. We need to have a map of our state, of our city, so that we'll know how to prophesy, lay hands, and declare the word of the Lord in every place that he's called. As a map is just as strategic in a war room, and you have to have it if you're going to address what the Lord wants you to address. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. I want y'all to point your horns toward me so you can get this on the mic. Come on a little closer. This is going to look weird, y'all. Now, here my mic is right. But I want you to blow your horns and remember, Yovo, we're declaring Jubilee over Israel. Somebody say Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Freedom, liberty to the nation of Israel. Let it be that her enemies are at peace with her on her borders, on her walls. Father, raise up those, Father, who will come and declare the gospel in the streets. It's illegal, but may they declare the gospel even to their own detriment. May they preach Yeshua. May they stand in that place and begin to declare that Jesus is Lord. And may it be, Father, that those who go to Israel will not just go for tourist purposes, but they will recognize the strategic hour that we're in and recognize that as the enemy is building up and heaping up his attack against the nation, that we will have intercessors, prayer warriors, who will get off the trains, who will get off the buses, who will get off the airplanes, who will get off the ships, and that will come into that place and lift their voice, declaring that Yeshua is Messiah. All over that region, Father, in every city from Tel Aviv all the way to Omer, Father, that they will go in that nation so that there will be a cry in the midst of that land, Father, declaring that one name, that one voice. And Father, we're asking you that enemies on her border will come to know Yeshua as their Messiah, but we recognize this is an impasse for the body of Christ. We can go no further till we stop and pay attention to what's happening to those for whom the Lord revealed himself to the earth. And all of God's people said. Amen. And so during this period of between the straits, we're declaring salvation, liberation for the nation of Israel. Though these horns are pointed toward me, it's not for me, it's for the microphone. I want you to blow your trumpets, if you would, as we declare in Jesus' name. Let the horns and voices begin to sound. That there's Jubilee, Father. In the name of Jesus. Church, I want you to shout Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Yovo.
Yovo.
Say it out loud. Yovo. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Now give the Lord a hand of praise. You know, I thank God for jamming for Jesus this morning. I was about to, there's one song that they played this morning, all of the songs really spoke to my heart because they played along the line of touching the basic reality and the fundamental reality of just the uniqueness of sound to give God the glory. But Paul Morton made a song, "Open the Floodgates of Heaven, Let It Rain." And right now we've been getting natural rain, but Lord knows we need some spiritual rain. And I can honestly say to you, as I heard that song, it was inside of me, and I thank the Lord for that. I got some strength. Somebody said some strength. And you know, one of my favorite songs has always been "Oh Happy Day."
Oh yeah.
I started to stand up in the back of the church and sing that with them. I'm saying, yeah, but somebody gonna ask me to hush. And so I decided not to embarrass myself. But jamming for Jesus, thank you all so much for your being here. And, you know, and I got some family members gonna get saved when y'all play again, when we hang out. Oh yeah, I said to myself, yeah, they gonna love this. They might. And I was getting them to tune in, but I know it's going to be an absolute blessing for them. But thank you all once again. And everybody in agreement with that, will you say amen?
Amen.
You know, thank you so much for your prayers as I have taken some time off to be prayerful and to be rejuvenated. I think it's been since the 11th of the month. And I'm actually feeling my strength. I'm feeling your prayers. And I really, really appreciate that. But the Lord reminded me of something, and through the years, from a prophetic perspective, none of us are all knowing, but there are certain things the Lord can say to you that you find yourself stepping in the midst of it while it's happening. Does that make sense? It's really interesting. I remember I received the word one time for a Queflo dollar, and when I received it, the Lord told me to contact a mutual friend of ours in it, and Bessemer and share that word. And it's so interesting to me, and I'm telling you this for a reason. I'd had a dream, and in this dream, the Lord, and then he rewound it and played it again. And I recognize the significance of that is that this is something that the Lord wanted me to share, and he wanted me to share it in a way that I was being made aware of, cognizant of spiritually, that I can get that. And I shared this with my friend, and he called him, and I remember they called me back that same day, and they told me that the day that they shared it with them was the day that he was sitting in the office dealing with the matter. Does that make sense? Somebody say, God is right on time. Now, I'm telling you this because I want to tell you two other things. I have a friend in Chicago, and he always teased me. He said, Brock, you're a prophet, aren't you? And he always says that to me. But one morning I called him because I'd had a dream that night, and in that dream, I saw him driving a multicolored Lexus. And it was odd to me because as I watched him, I said, I've never seen a multicolored Lexus, brand new Lexus, multicolored. And as I watched him drive it, I watched him go so far, and I watched the thing blow up. And so I called him that morning. He said, I said, well, listen, Apostle, and about you last night, and in this dream, you were riding a Lexus. And he said it was, I said it was a brand new Lexus. I said, but the odd thing is, the car blew up in the ravine. I said, now one other thing I didn't understand, it was multicolored. It was just like, it was just too many colors for it to be flowing. That, and he said, he stopped and he paused a minute. And then I could hear it in his voice. He said, man, someone told me to meet them at the today and choose any color that I want. And says the day. He said, but you didn't call me. But you didn't call me and mixed up my Lexus. He said, I can't go. And so he didn't go. But he realized it was the word of the Lord to him. Does that make sense? I can give you dozens of stories like that, and yet I can tell you that we are not all knowing. Are you with me? Say amen. And I wish we were all knowing. I'll tell you my bit on that reality if I was all knowing, amen? But I'm not going to repeat that. A few months ago, I woke up and I called Minister Sharon, and because the Lord had given me a word. And I want you to write this word down because that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. And I recognize, Minister Sharon, you can help me with the timing of it. I sent her a text, and I asked her, what was the reset? Do you remember that? And I saw her sitting in something like a meeting, and I saw the word reset. And the Lord says, you're going to minister reset. And he says, but when it's time for you to minister reset, I want the people to hear and understand I really mean for them to reset. And he said, at the time that I tell you, I want to reset them from grief. I want to reset them from pain, from sorrow. I want to reset them from their, for whatever it is that they're dealing with and allow themselves to come in. I want to reset them to me and my, let me become their meditation, for them to put all distractions aside, for them to put everything aside that so easily would beset them and cause them to go after things that I don't want them going after, period. Whether, regardless of whether the devil has said or manipulated a lie, he said, when I say reset and you tell them I mean reset. Say that with me.
Reset.
And Minister Sharon can tell you that when I called her and asked about that, I was not familiar with this, but I asked her what it was, and I think she was that day in a meeting. Guess what the name of the meeting was? Reset. Reset. And so when she texted me back and told me what that was, I recognized. And the Lord told me, he said, at the appointed time, I want you to minister reset. And he says, tell the people if they would receive it, their destinies are yet awaiting them, the fullness of their calls, the fullness of their anointing. I want them focused in on me. There's places where the enemy has hindered us from going back into countries, from going, and God says that when he hits, when that reset button is hit by your decree and by your acknowledgement, what he will do is, listen, you have to forget the past. When you've made mistakes and you've done things on your own, you may not have thought it was on your own, but on your own, you've done things out of your own will and volition. And sometimes just not even understanding what the Lord says, but when the Lord says it's time to hit reset, then we're going to hit reset and we're going to move into our proper inheritance that the Father has purpose for us. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Now, go to me to the book of Romans chapter 8. I don't plan on being before you very long. If you would give me at least 2.5 hours, I think I can. I don't have 2.5 hours in me, guys. I can numbers of times that what I'm telling you, I have to emphasize we're not all knowing, but I've made phone calls in the midst of the Lord said, pick up the phone and call this. And it could be this going on. It can be that going on. And I've learned something about that is that the Lord wants a level of intervention and prayer in. But you know who gets the glory out of everything that takes place? He does. And I need you to do this simply because I saw the Lord. Many of you have stood before me. And I saw the Lord resetting things for you in such a way that if you would allow it to be so, as you forge ahead, you will discover the reality of this. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 8. And as you turn to Romans chapter 8, could you remember the simplicity of this scripture, if you would, for me, please? It's a very simple scripture. In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start here at about verse 16. You've read this before. Can I tell you that Paul, that's pretty speedy just now. Thank you. You faster than me, son. If you don't have your Bibles, just direct your attention to the screen. Paul here makes a simple supernatural statement. It says, the Spirit itself. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Say, I do. The Spirit itself bears witness with whose spirit? Are you born again? Say, I am. Amen. When you became born again, the Holy Spirit awakened, and your spirit man was awakened. Your soul and your body became subject to the order and to the law of God. Are you with me? Say, amen. Amen. But then there came a time, say, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides me into how much truth? For the Spirit searches how many things? Yea, even the deep things of God. Do you know that? Say, amen. There are things that the Lord want to show you that your eyes haven't what?
Seen.
Nor your ears what?
Heard.
Neither has it entered into your heart all the things that God has prepared for them that what? But he's revealing them unto us by his what?
Spirit.
And sometimes in our walk with God, things come in, things are said, things are spoken, and we feel like we know, but as we pursue them, we find out that they're not quite all that God wants us to do. So sometimes he comes to a place where he just simply turns and he hits reset. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Can I tell you, the Lord has had to reset me on a couple of occasions. And I'm gonna leave that right there, and I'm going to just simply say, do you have the Holy Spirit? What's the answer? Well, the Holy Spirit is capable of bearing witness with whose spirit? Is that first spirit a capital S? Is that the Holy Spirit? Are you born again? That means your new born again spirit. It bears witness with our spirit that we are children of who? Are you a child of God?
Yes.
And if children, then say I'm an heir.
I'm an heir.
Of who?
God.
And a joint heir with Christ, if so be that we what?
Suffer
with him, that we may also be what? Okay. Anybody ever been through anything that's been difficult where you've tried to figure out, but yet God brings you through? If you have, will you say amen?
Amen.
Do you know that I reckon, verse 18, that the suffering is not worthy to be compared what? With the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who is subject the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of what? God. Can I tell you that there's no shadow of turning in the Lord? And I'm going to end with this passage of scripture right here, and then I need you to make a declaration with me. Turn right here to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 1. I said I'm going to end with this, but I'm going to quote one last scripture for you after that. In Genesis chapter 1, if you're there, I want you to come all the way down to where it says, and God said, let there be what? Say it out loud. And God said, let there be what? Light. Are you with me? The Bible teaches us only good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of light. Say it out loud. Can I show you a principle? Do you know that when God said, let there be light, this was not the creation of the sun? What did I just say? That was not the creation. The sun didn't get created to about the fourth day. When he said, let there be light, it was a release of his presence upon the earth. And the fact of the matter is, I'm going to share this with you only as a simplistic miracle of witness of the supernatural. And you know what that is? You and I were never designed to live by the sun. We were only designed to live by the glory of the Spirit of God. How do I know that? Because if I take you from Genesis, come here, Josiah. Come here, Ira. Stay right there, Ira. I need you to get this before we reset. Stay over there, son, if you would, for me, please. From Genesis to Revelation. Say that with me. From Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, he said, let there be what? And there what? Do you know that from Genesis all the way to Revelation, there is never diminished in one iota. God is maxed out. There is no shadow of turning. Everything about him, he is glorious and beautiful. When you come into the knowledge of him, it's because you are coming up into the light of who he already is. So from Genesis to Revelation, the light never glory. The light has not, it has flickered. It is the light of the glory of God. And the reason that you know that is when you go to the book of Revelation, the Bible takes you into the intricate details of heaven. And he tells you that you come into a place and you come into this city. And when you come into this city, there's no need for the moon of the sun, S-U-N, to shine in it. For this place is lit up by the glory of who? And of the Lamb is the light thereof. You know what that means? From Genesis to Revelation, he has not fallen. He has not diminished. Who fell? Raise your hand. Say, man. Just in case you think I'm leaving out the women, I'm talking about the female male and man and the male man. Amen. Amen. When we fail into what? Darkness. But the first thing God began to do is he began to reintroduce himself to us. And he started with the crudeness of a crude covering. And then he went through the ritualistic ceremonies that he had. And then he brought forth his son. And that son was releasing the light of his word so that we can hear revelation and begin to implement them in our practice and come back into our inheritance, come into our destiny, come into a light that is never diminished any iota. If you would agree with that, will you say amen? Amen. Now watch this, if you would, please. I used to be in the Boy Scouts. And when I was in the Boy Scouts, we were told this, not that this was going to ever happen to me, but we were told that if you ever get trapped in a cave or locked in a cave and you can't find your way out, which I wasn't going in, but if you can't find your way out, this is what they said. It says, when you come out, don't look directly at the sun. So look at the ground and allow the light to gradually build into your eyes. Same thing that the Father did. He has been introducing us to light in every generation. The light of salvation. Am I right? Say amen.
Amen.
Does the entrance of his word bring light?
Yes.
Is that light life?
Yes.
Is that light the word of God?
Yes.
So through the word of God, he's bringing light and he's bringing us back up in himself. He introduced himself as salvation. He introduced himself as forgiveness. And his place within himself is the uniqueness of our destiny. And it never changes, though we can be distracted and things can come, but it never changes. Are you with me? Having said all of that to you, from Genesis to Revelation, he never diminished. He's been bringing us back up in himself through his word. Am I right? There's a place that God has ordained for you that will speak to a place of glory that the sufferings of these present times are not worthy to be compared with, because what he has determined to you. I can tell you, I've walked with people. I've actually had people to fly into the city from other cities and either my rights to sit down and pray and to talk. And I can tell you honestly, people have gone through a lot of things. They've gone through divorce. They've gone through hurts and so forth. But the one thing I always try to get them to refocus on, let's get past that and let's get right back to your peace and function. And the only way you're going to do that is reset. Say that with me. Reset. Because all you're doing is reconnecting to God's purpose and function for you, his design for you. And one thing I do, forgetting those things that are what? And pressing toward the mark for the prize of the, because it's up in the light that is in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? I love the message. I saw Amanda preach last week. God, Amanda said, listen, you know God in the mountain. Because you done been up there, everything been going good. Hallelujah, glory to God, yeah! You know, we sang with him in the mountain time, ain't that right? Thank good, just got that paycheck. It was fatter than what you thought it was going to be. Your bills about paid for that part of the month, so you happy. But then the devil looked around and said, wait a minute, if I can get that rascal down in the mountain, in the valley, excuse me, off the mountain in the valley, because I done seen how they react in the valley. They act like Jesus ain't Lord in the valley. God ceased to be God when they're going through the valley. Am I telling you the truth? And that's just to preach the message. It's up online. It's up online. Have y'all gone online and listened to it? It's up online. And then I think Dr. Grace came in with a testimony afterward. I said, these folk don't need me at church. I gave an exhortation. I said, hey, I can stay at home another week or two. But he is the God of the hills. But you better know him when you're in the valley. Am I telling you the truth? And so I ain't got to re-preach that message. You just need to go back and hear it. Am I right? Does God have, has he determined some things for your life? I know the plans I have for you. They are good, not evil, to bring you to a term. Are you going to get in agreement with me, yourself, your flesh, what you think or what you want? No distractions. Somebody say no distractions. And so because I am the light, I am the father of what? Lights. And only good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of light. Lights, I will give you my word so that you can hear me and come out. Pass all of that. So first things first, they told you that they didn't want you back in Israel. Isn't that right? Say reset. God is working it out that regardless of whatever they said or what they had determined for whatever reason, when God resets something, he puts you back in your purpose. Though the enemy wants you to think that it's lost, it has been determined, it won't work. God says, stay focused. Don't get distracted. Do the work of the Lord and don't let anything change you from what I call you to do. And what you will understand is that reset is your order of restoration that I'm bringing you into me beyond all of the principalities, the powers, and every name that is named, that are seated in high places to oppose that. Does that make sense to you? And so there are places where God has called us to that sometimes when we hit them snags, we think, well, I'm not going there no more. I want you to say the devil is a liar. And I don't listen to liars. Because my destiny is hidden in the Lord. And he gives me his word to pursue him. And I'm available for his plans, his purposes, his pursuits, and I will not stop, nor be hindered, or distracted. My focus will be the Lord. And I declare from Genesis to Revelation, his glory has not diminished. He gives me his word that I may come in to know him, to receive him, to walk with him according to his determined end for me.